Welcome, everyone. We will call the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee to order. We have one bill on... Oh, there, good. Welcome. We have one bill on our schedule today, House Bill 4079, and we are very fortunate to have Representative Bailey here to explain that to us. But first of all, I'll have Chris go through the description of the bill.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee.
Did I open a public hearing? I did. Yep. Open public hearing. Okay.
House Bill 4079 is a technical clarification bill. It's a follow-up to the tax credit omnibus bill 3672 from last session. It makes a number of technical corrections to the renewables credit, the transportation credit, the residential energy credit, the biomass credit, BETC, the manufacturing BETC, and the conservation credit, as well as adding credits to the transparency website. You have a no impact statement, a minimal fiscal impact statement, and then you also have a cheat sheet that tries to line up the policy for each credit along with the bill sections. So that's the 30, without getting into the details of it. That's
okay. For the weeds, we will turn to Representative Bailey. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, members of the committee. For the record, Jules Bailey, House District 42. It's fun to, I almost said co-chair. I'm so used to saying co on everything, Chair Burdick.
We operate that way over here. We just don't have the titles.
That's my understanding. House Bill 4079 comes to you with a unanimous recommendation from your House Revenue Committee, as well as a unanimous vote off the floor. And if you will recall the brain damage that we all suffered last session on House Bill 3672, at that time, as we moved right to the end of session, we said there's probably going to be a few things that we missed and that we need to clean up. And House Bill 4079 hopefully catches most of those things, although it really does three separate categories of things. One, it provides a few technical fixes to House Bill 3672 to make sure that that program the programs that are contained within it that relate to energy, such as the renewables, transportation, residential manufacturing, transportation credits, function effectively. Two, there are a couple of policy issues within 4079 that I'll highlight for you. And then three, it adds to the credits that were created to the transparency website and ensures that the transparency bill that passed ahead of 3672 applies to this bill. And it does so in a way that I think makes more sense given the restructuring that we did in 3672. So, for example, in the transparency portions, because we're now for the renewable grant, we are pre-selling the tax credit and then populating a fund to then issue a grant. The transparency applies to the grant recipient, even though the transparency website has mainly applied to tax credit recipients. It now applies to this grant recipient because they are the direct beneficiary of that of those taxpayer, those foregone taxpayer dollars, in a sense. The sections, Chris can probably walk you through the bill in more detail, but really what we've got here in terms of policy are a couple of things. One, you'll note that there was not a cap put on the biomass credit in 3672. The original bill in 4079 had contemplated a cap. That has been removed because there is no pre-certification of the biomass tax credit. So there's no way to manage to a cap if you don't have a pre-certification, so you don't know what's coming in the door. I would flag that that's probably something that we should take a look at next session, but in a technical cleanup bill, that was not able to be addressed here. Also, it says that...
Jules, Bailey, before you leave that point, I can't remember, and I was part of the team that did this, but I can't remember what the policy reason for not having a cap was. Do you recall that on biomass?
Chair Burdick, it was this pre-certification reason, and we revisited the issue, and it ends up becoming extremely difficult to track against a cap.
Right, but I'm sorry, I misphrased the question. The question was why we decided not to do pre-certification. of biomass.
Oh, sorry. Chair Burdick, last time around, we were contemplating the extension of the sunset of the biomass credit, which the existing credit did not have a pre-certification system within it. And so as we focused on the restructuring of the business energy tax credit, my sense was that the other credits where we looked at extending them, because the Betsy already had a pre-certification system within it, we didn't look at adding a pre-certification system to any of the other credits. It's probably something we should take a look at some point in the future.
Yeah, and I agree. We should take that up next session. Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. A couple of other things in here. As we look at a way to change from a potential tax credit system to an appropriation system for the funds that we created, what this bill does is it also clarifies what would happen if we do an appropriation into a fund where we've authorized the pre-sale of tax credits to populate the fund, and it ensures that we wouldn't be going back and revoking sold tax credits to people who had already purchased them in good faith. These aren't the project developers. These are just everyday citizens who've gone and purchased a tax credit and think they're going to be able to use them on their taxes. We want to be sure that we're not revoking those tax credits after the fact for folks who aren't involved with the energy portions of this in any way. So it does provide some protections for them. Also on the transportation credit, there's some technical changes that try to get more at this, I think, principle of a ramp-down effect that we discussed in the last session. So one of the challenges was that the department, there was some lack of clarity within the previous bill about what constituted the previous size of the pie, if you will, and how to measure what the new size of the pie in terms of the tax credits going to a transportation agency would be. This provides a little bit more clarity on how to manage that ramp down over time for transit agencies. There's a lot more in here, but one other thing I do want to call out, because it was a specific discussion within the House Energy, Environment, and Water Committee, was the requirement around jobs data. There was a sense that requiring large volumes of jobs data as part of the application process for these credits was cumbersome for the size of the incentive that we were discussing. So, for example, you're applying for a $60,000 project, but you're having to do a $20,000 implant study on top of that $60,000 project just to compete on direct, indirect, and induced jobs. What we did here was try to get more directly at what we were talking about in an apples-to-apples comparison and say direct jobs only. So the requirement is now not this more nebulous, tell us all the jobs that you're creating, not only in your project, but at the 7-Eleven down the street. It's now how many jobs is your project creating to try to limit that scope. And that should be data that's much easier for people to provide so they don't have to go out and do those additional studies. So I'll stop there. I believe you have handouts that go through some of the other sections in detail. But having had fun with this in both the Energy, Environment, and Water Committee as well as the Revenue Committee, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
And the journey of this bill was from the Energy Environment Committee to the Revenue Committee on subsequent, right, in the House?
Chair Burdick, that's correct.
Okay. Senator Telfer, did you have a question?
Yes.
Senator Hess.
Thank you. I just think it's interesting. The level of detail and technical clarifications of this bill is so high. The fact that you have fun with this is you are probably the guy or one of the few guys in this building that really has the handle on this, and you become an expert in this area and can follow these dots at this high level.
Chair Burdick, Senator Hess, I appreciate that. It's a disease, really.
Well,
we all have our burdens.
I said before we convened, and I'll say it now on the record, that we never, I don't see how we could have possibly navigated our way through the whole Betsy issue without your involvement in it, because you really understand the program, and you really rolled up your sleeve and did the hard work, both last year on 3672, and this year. So I want to express our profound appreciation for giving us what looks to me like a finished product.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Are there questions for Representative Boone? Nobody dares.
Senator Hass echoed my my comments. I was going to ask you, Julie, if you read these statutes for pleasure.
Chair Burdick, Senator Morse, I will just tell you that the other day I scared myself a little bit when we were trying to remember one of the credits from 3672 that we were going down the list. And I said, okay, well, Section 1 was this, and Section 2 was Section 3. Oh, yeah, Section 3 said. Sometimes if I get a little rusty, I'll go back and refresh myself.
Well, thank you for your work.
Thank you. It's good to meet a fellow wonk. At one point earlier in my career, I prided myself of being one of maybe four people in the entire country who had actually read the entire Clean Air Act. All right. No other questions. Thank you so much for coming. We have nobody signed up to testify on this, but we do have people from the Department of Energy. If you have something to add, you're welcome, and if not, we can have you up by request. So I see nobody jumping up. Okay, committee?
Are you ready, Madam Chair?
I'm ready. Let's close the public hearing on House Bill 4079 and open a work session on House Bill 4079. Senator Morse.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 4079B. To the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Morris has moved House Bill 4079 to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And Senator Hess twisted my arm and demanded that he be able to carry this bill on the Senate floor. So we will accommodate that urgent request. So.
I guarantee you it will not be a flowery speech.
Good bill should pass. Yeah. No question.
We thought about suspending the rules and inviting Representative Bailey over to carry it, but I'm sure Senator Hess will do a great job. Okay, so that completes our business, and it may complete our whole lives here on finance and revenue. But we are one of those committees that is on call at all times, so... a conditional.
Is the enterprise bill still floating?
That's right. We will have one more.
Enterprise
that we know of. Yeah, that we know of. But it's that time of year when you get some things that you may not have known of.
Are we scheduled to meet Monday?
Do we expect to have that bill by Monday, Paul?
No, so probably not.
So
Tuesday,
so
Wednesday,
1 hour notice.
We're on 1 hour notice committee, so I think what we, Paul, go ahead.
Madam Chair, there is one bill that's still being worked on in House Revenue. It's still in House Revenue. We don't have a specific time for them to meet, so they would have to meet, approve it, go to the House floor, and then come over to you. Right. So it's likely to be early part of next week at the earliest.
Okay, so committee, enjoy your Monday morning, because we will not be meeting on Monday, but we are on 1 hour notice. So, and I would be very disappointed if we only have 1 hour. I'll try for the regular 24 at least. So, with that.
Go ahead. It was a question of traveling from Central Oregon over here first thing Monday morning or not. I won't be here in an hour, but
the answer is
soon thereafter.
The answer is or not for Monday morning. Okay. You do not need to worry about Monday morning.
Okay.
Because I've seen miracles happen, but this would be really stretching it.
Okay.
So with that, we are adjourned.